You've all seen the optical illusion, the image, where at first you're looking at a goblet, a chalice, and then something shifts inside your head, and then you see two faces looking at each other, right? You've all seen that. Now notice that the image itself didn't change, but something happening inside yourself did change. And simply by looking at it from a different perspective, you see a whole different reality. Now, what if I were to tell you that 80% of the spiritual life is not about doing something different from what you're already doing, but simply looking at everything that you do in your daily life and everything that you experience from a fresh perspective? Okay. So, for example, the way that we look at temptations, right? Very often, we're ashamed of the fact that we have temptations, or we're afraid of the fact that we have temptations. And we think that it says something negative about our relationship with the Lord. But I think, as you all know, everyone experiences temptation. Our Lord was tempted. Our Lady was tempted. Temptations in itself are an inevitable part of the spiritual life. And what St. Anthony of the Desert said was, the fact that you are being tempted is actually a sign that you're doing something right. And what did he mean by that? If you are being tempted, that means that you have an image in your mind already of the kind of person you want to be, this ideal that you're striving for. And you're aware that this thing over here is a threat to that image that you've got for yourself. It's a challenge to that image that you've got. And so the mere fact that you have that image in front of you and that it matters to you, the mere fact that you are aware that you are being tempted is in itself an indication that you're trying to be holy, that you want to be a good person. The only people who don't experience temptations are the ones who give in to them immediately, because they don't have no sense of self, no sense of that ideal person that they want to be. And so every time an option comes along like a gust of wind, they just kind of go with it, right? And so St. Anthony of the Desert said, take courage from the fact that you are being tempted, take consolation from it, and don't be afraid of being tempted, all right? But actually look forward to your temptations, because you know they're going to be inevitable anyway. Look forward to your temptations as an opportunity to grow in the spiritual life and to show God how much you love him. All right, Lord, I'm being presented with this temptation. You know that I love you, and so I'm looking forward to this opportunity of resisting this temptation out of love for you. All right? So that simple shift in paradigm and how we look at temptations makes all the difference. Here's another example. I'm always touched in confession the number of times someone will say to me, Father, 20 years ago, I blurted out something stupid without thinking, and I really hurt someone that I loved. And I apologized, but it's been eating me alive for the last 20 years. I'm so ashamed of what I said. And there's not a day that goes by when I wouldn't give anything I have just to be able to take that one thing back that I said. All right. And what I will say to them is, do you think you're the first person on earth who can say that? All right. Every single person in this church here right now can say the exact same thing. Every single person in this church would give back anything they could to take back something that they said in the past. There is nothing more human than that. And so what I will tell them is, take courage from that, from the realization that we all do it. Make your apology to the person, but if you let it eat you up for 20 years, that's not humility. That's you being narcissistic, all right? That's your ego. That's not humility, all right? Because we all do it. What, do you think you're someone special? Okay? You guys see what I'm saying? Notice how Jesus says in the gospel, because your ancestors treated the prophets in the same way, It's the same principle here. Jesus is trying to remind us that what you're going through right now, whatever temptation you have right now that you're wrestling with, you can rest assured that countless numbers of our Christian brothers and sisters have wrestled with this in the past, and they're going to be wrestling with the same thing long after you're gone, all right? And so the great temptation in the spiritual life is to think that you're the worst person in the world, right? They said, no. Keep in mind we're all in this together, right? We're all in the same boat. You get the idea. Keep that perspective, that broader perspective. Now, here's one last thing. The most important change of perspective that you can have in the spiritual life is this. For those of you who like sports, especially football, let's say, there's an old saying, the best defense is what? A good offense. Because if you are driving the ball down the field, you don't have to worry about defense because you got the other guy backing up, right? Now, notice, defense is important, obviously, but if all you do is play defense in football, that gets old pretty quickly, right? Because the only thing you're worried about is not making a mistake, not letting the other guy score, and you're constantly reacting to what the other guy is doing. But if you're playing offense, that's a lot more fun, right? Because now you're the one driving the ball toward the end zone. You want to hear the rush of the crowd, the roar of the crowd. You're looking for that glory. You're looking for that victory. And it's also more creative, more empowering, because there might be 20 different ways I can get the ball around the defense. And so it allows me a creativity that I can't do if I'm playing defense, right? Now, the spiritual life is exactly the same way. We have to be careful of not falling into the trap of simply playing defense. And what I mean is, if your spiritual life is completely wrapped around, I want to avoid sinning, I want to avoid giving into this temptation, well, obviously that's important. But if that's all you do, it's going to get tedious pretty quickly. And your spiritual life starts to get very narrow because all you're worried about is not making a mistake. What you want to do, this comes from St. Ignatius Loyola and the great saints, is to counterattack, all right? To not simply resist a temptation, but to counterattack the temptation to make it go away altogether. And in that way, we are spiting the enemy, the evil one. Oh, you think you're going to tempt me with this? Well, watch this. I'm going to go after you, all right? So, for example, simple example. You find yourself with a temptation not to go to church on Sunday. You just want to sit at home and have a cup of coffee and read the paper. We've all been there. Even priests, we have those days too. Okay, right? So, if you simply resist that temptation by making yourself go to church on Sunday, that temptation, it's good that you do that, but that temptation almost certainly is going to come back next Sunday, right? And so the question is, how do you make the temptation go away altogether? And you do that by spiting the enemy and going to the opposite extreme, and you say to the evil one, ah, you're tempting me not to go to church on Sunday? Just to spite you, I'm going to go every day of the week for 3 weeks, all right? So you go to the other extreme, and if you do that, then the temptation, notice how you're driving the ball toward his end zone, the temptation not to go on Sundays will actually go away. And then you don't have to resist it because it's no longer there, all right? So let me give you another example of what I mean. Thérèse of Lisieux, one of the great spiritual masters of the last 150 years, she died at the ripe old age of 24, okay? But she was a spiritual prodigy. She was a Carmelite nun. And in her autobiography, she tells the story that there was a cranky old nun in the monastery that drove all the other nuns nuts, right? She was just mean and angry all the time. And so whenever the other nuns saw this angry one coming down the hallway, they all just kind of scattered, right? Because they didn't want to deal with her. And Thérèse said that when she was trying to pray, she kept getting distracted in her prayer because she kept getting mad thinking about this nun. And then Therese applied this idea of counterattack. And she says, oh, okay, I'm not simply going to, you know, resist the temptation by being patient with this nun. Therese goes to the opposite extreme and says, I'm going to make this nun the whole center of my spirituality for the next month. And so all she did in her prayer for the next month was to pray for this particular nun. And then Therese went out of her way to initiate conversations with this nun every day and went out of her way to be especially friendly with this nun. And Therese says once she started doing that, these surges of anger that she felt toward the nun just broke up altogether and disappeared, right? And so that the old nun came to her at one point and said, what have I ever done to you that you love me like this, right? That you love me like this. And so this technique of counterattacking a temptation to make it go away altogether, in Latin we call it adjure contra. And notice that whatever temptation you're wrestling with right now, this is going to cause you to be, you have to be a little creative, right? In your prayer, ask yourself, what might I possibly do in order to go to the other extreme? You're thinking strategy now, right? You're thinking strategy. What can I do despite the enemy and put the ball in his end zone in order to defeat this temptation altogether? And this is what we mean by spiritual combat, all right? Counterattacking. Our Lord gave us the perfect image of this. So you remember, he's baptized in the River Jordan by John, and he receives this vocation from the Father. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then what's the first thing that he does? He goes out into the desert for 40 days. Now here's the thing. In Jewish theology, the desert was the place where Satan and the demons lived. And they believed that the demons would make continual raids and forays into the villages and towns to harass people, and then they would go back out into the desert. So when Jesus receives his vocation, he doesn't wait for the evil one to come to him. He goes out there. He meets the evil one on his own ground. All right? So he's counterattacking the enemy. Satan has no idea who this guy is. And do you notice what's the first thing that Satan says? If you are the Son of God, then command these stones be turned into bread. Well, what does that mean? That Jesus went out there, and the very first thing he said was, I am the Son of God. Your reign is over. This stops now. Jesus goes out there to talk trash, all right, to the enemy. And Satan is completely caught off guard. And his back, and so he's, you know, he's floundering, and he says, well, if you're the Son of God, then do this, right? And so Jesus was very deliberate in going out there. He's not going to be a victim, but he's going to take the initiative in the spiritual life. And so that's the model that we all need to be adopting in our own spiritual life. And a sense of humor. A sense of humor in the spiritual life is so important. Whenever you see someone who's really attractive, really sexy, and you start to have these unchaste thoughts, don't freak out. Just look up at God and say, hey, Lord, good job, right? Good job. And you do that, and it takes all the sting out of the temptation, that ability to laugh at yourself, and even pray for the person that you see. Lord, I don't know who this person is, but I'm praying for her, praying for him, that you bring that person consolation and peace. And you would be amazed how that diffuses temptations. So go on the offense and have a sense of humor. And you know what? It's going to make the spiritual life a lot more fun.